Music and Booze with Mo is co-produced and distributed by Nitty Grits, the media division of the National Food and Beverage Foundation, changing the world one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? For the next few episodes, we'll be doing something a little special here on Music and Booze with Mo. It is my tropical summer of cocktails. I've never made a secret of my love for tropical and tiki. I love wearing flowers in my hair. I always have. I grew up by the beach. Surfing was a big part of my life. Tiki naturally fell in line with all of that. And tiki is going through quite a resurgence, revival. There are many, many things going on in the tiki world and the tropical world, so I took it upon myself to talk to various friends and colleagues and new friends about their lives in the tiki world, and it's been tons of fun talking to these folks about their tropical creations and such. So join us for the summer as we have Mo's Tropical Summer on Music and Booze with Mo. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you in part by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers located in the Sunset Junction area of Silver Lake. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated selection of spirits, and one of the most impressive collections of bitters anywhere. That's Barkeeper in Los Angeles. Check them out online at barkeepersilverlake.com, or better yet, just head on down to the store. On this episode, I get to talk with Kevin Beery and Corey Starr of Three Dots and a Dash in Chicago. They are representing the tropical and tiki world quite well in the Midwest, and I've never been, but I wish I could be. I wish I could be at that bar. I hear it's wonderful. I've met these folks through various pop-ups over the years, and if you've been to the bar, then you know how wonderful it is. They have lots of great ideas and enthusiasm for tiki and want to bring in new stuff and keep it going, create new classics, as it were. So sit down with us. We had a really great conversation and a really fun time, so sorry about all my laughing.
It's kind of like,
nice.
I feel like this should be Saint-Tropez or something.
Yeah, it can be. That's tiki, right? It's escapism.
Does that count as tiki?
The Hyatt Pier 66 Fort Lauderdale transports you to Saint-Tropez.
Oh, God, these levels are going to be shit. But it's going to be tons of fun, so it's totally fine. All right, let's pick our Caribbean hotspot where we're doing this interview from.
Ooh, for me, I'm going to go with Martinique. It's a really magical place.
Oh, that's nice. All right.
I'm going to say Kona, Hawaii, because that's where I used to live. So
did
Caribbean,
you live there?
I haven't been to the. Yeah, I lived there for 6 years. So
do you still have lots of people there, I'm guessing.
I do.
How are they doing out there right now?
They're doing good. It's on the other side of the island.
Yeah,
so
but
not,
it's still got to be a really surreal experience for them.
Definitely. They've got a lot of, like, VOG over there, so, like, volcanic VOG. So.
Yeah, VOG. I was going to say it's VOG. The first time I heard that was, I have a friend that lives in Waikiki. She's been there for, like, 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I was out there, and she's like, oh, the VOG is really this. And I'm all, VOG? And I've lived in California my whole life, so I'm like, I know smog. What is VOG? And she...
Yep. Yeah, my sister had to move away because it was...
Because it was giving her asthma or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, we're recording, so let's tell us who we are.
I'm Corey Starr. I'm a lead bartender at Three Dots and a Dash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that would make me Kevin Berry, beverage director at Three Dots and a Dash.
So we got some head honchos here who do, like, kind of tiki stuff. People have heard of your bar.
From time to time.
Yeah, sometimes. Y'all are out in Chicago, which is so not tropical. So how did this bar... happen out there? I mean, I'm from California. That sounds really stupid. I get it. I'm from California. It's really easy for us to be all tropical and everything. And there has been a long history of tiki out in Chicago. I know.
Yeah.
So how long has Three Dots and a Dash been around?
Yeah,
now?
We're in about 4.5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Corey and I didn't found the bar, but
we had the
opportunity to take over such a iconic spot.
Yeah. So you didn't take it over, but it, when it was opened, it was like, hey, we're doing tiki in Chicago, and you are the beverage director.
That's right.
So what were you doing before that?
So I was definitely, like, cocktail-minded, but had done... I was a beverage director for a luxury hotel group. Mm-hmm. So I did, you know, was in a situation just managing several bars on the same property for...
Yeah.
You know.
So that was kind of a wide breadth of knowledge in terms of...
Yeah, exactly.
Drinks going on.
A little bit different. I mean, obviously more refined, you know, mm-hmm. not nearly as fun as tiki. So that opportunity to come and make tiki drinks, so it was really...
So I've heard that a lot in regards to, I mean, I'm a big fan of cocktails in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, I grew up in San Diego, so I grew up going to bars in Tijuana, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of figured I'd start at the very bottom and learned mm-hmm. my way up. And you've got the craft cocktail thing, and then tiki, I hear this all the time from folks who create tiki cocktails. They're like, it's just more fun. So I, as a layperson, would think it would be more complicated.
Yeah, it's definitely harder. I mean, it's mm-hmm. harder to make good tiki drinks than it is good classic cocktails, mm-hmm. I would say. You know, you take a lot of that training and those elements that you learned from making good classic cocktails, mm-hmm. and you bring that into tiki. So you have to be uncompromising on your juice program, your ice program,
mm-hmm.
obviously your garnish program. It was just, I will say, you know, coming from more of a classic cocktail background,
yeah,
it was far more difficult than I had anticipated to make really great tiki cocktails.
Tiki drinks?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, you've got so many juice X factors, I would think.
For sure.
Because that stuff goes bad real fast, right?
Absolutely.
Some of that. So.
And that's something, I mean, we pride ourselves on. You know, we have a pretty intense, all cold process juice program.
Wow. So I have to hit each one of you because I want to get into your cocktail backgrounds. So we'll go back to you. We'll go to Corey.
So yeah, before I moved to Chicago... Mm-hmm. I worked at the Four Seasons out in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a...
So you have like this, I don't want to say authentic tiki experience, but you know what I mean. It's
well,
like,
it
you live
kind
in
of a totally...
But the thing is the drinks out there are crap.
Yeah,
out
yeah.
in Hawaii.
No.
Oh, sorry. No, not at the Four Seasons. Yeah. No,
okay,
no, no,
no.
I mean, if you go to an average spot in Hawaii, you get tourist drinks, which are like a lot of juice with like a splash of Sailor Jerry's in it maybe or something.
I mean, they are...
I mean, well, so the bar
you
I worked...
You guys are going to be passing the mic back and forth.
Yeah,
no, no, no,
yeah,
do
yeah.
it. I'm totally fine with that.
The bar I worked at, though, mm-hmm. it was a completely fresh juice...
Sorry, I'm noticing that you're wearing skulls around your
oh,
neck.
Oh, yes, I do
very
have.
Very exciting.
I'm
very exciting.
Always wearing skulls around my neck.
back to your bar experience.
The bar I ran, we had a garden that ran all the way around it.
Oh,
so
wow.
I had a program. It was a swim-up bar, but people would go pick, like, herbs and stuff from the garden, bring them to me, and I'd make... drinks for them like
people,
a la minute and
that takes the whole bartender's choice thing
yeah
to
so,
a whole new level dude
so
yeah
so it was like we had a huge garden on premise
they
that I
from
would
their
seek
own
so
garden?
Yeah they,
did they
yeah.
do stuff like I don't know I just see a lot of potential like so it's like an episode of Chopped or something they bring you like
exactly.
three things
well, yeah.
and you're all dude all right
it was three things every once a week I'd get a big fruit order. And I didn't know it was coming in, so my menu changed like on a weekly basis, and just
You're
fresh
kidding
fruits
about
from
that four
Hawaii.
Seasons
thing.
And damn.
Yeah, yeah. So I had a it was a, like where I was running was a little smaller of a program, but I did mm-hmm. do the cocktails for the whole resort, and it was
wow.
It was really good, and it got me set up for here, like just knowing how to do everything myself, and
Well, you're in Chicago now and going from, well, I guess I know a lot of stuff grows in Hawaii. And again, I'm spoiled as fuck because I'm from California. We can grow everything like all year round. In Chicago, you can't grow everything all year round. And in Hawaii, I would think you can grow a lot of things all year round too, but maybe it's a more specific crop kind of thing.
We've got, like, what do we have that's growing around there? We just mostly take some of the brandies that are around there.
Because I know there's a lot of imports to Hawaii. And
I know a lot of our citrus is coming from around here in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. So when you were doing that Frankenstein cocktails in the best way possible at that Four Seasons, you just never knew what your ingredients were going to be?
Well, people would come up. I mean, I had a good idea of what I
totally
could be
doing. This is
blowing
my mind because I'm not creative
way. No, people would come up with stuff and they'd say what they wanted and I would curate to what I think they actually wanted.
This happens in music all the time. And I worked in music licensing and supervision all the time. And they'd be like, we just want a song that sounds like Peter Gabriel, but without African drumming. And I'm all, then you want prog rock? Because that was what that was. No. So then I'd do the same. Interpret what we think they wanted. And then they'd be like, oh, this is great. I'm all, yeah, it's totally not what you asked for. So I'm guessing that was
Yeah, and it was great, too, because, I mean, every drink was curated for people. I had no menu at one point just because it was easier to not have one.
Oh, my God.
So I had a secret tiki menu, though, at all times, pretty much. So that's I got into tiki.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I've been surprised when I've gone to Hawaii and found that it's not particularly tiki because they're like, we live here.
Resort drinks are totally different than tiki drinks.
Which is true.
I mean, you're talking pina coladas and pineapple juice Mai Tais and stuff that.
The Hawaiian style and all of that. So when you had your secret tiki menu, what kind of stuff did you have on that menu?
A little like my own rum barrel, zombie. Mm-hmm. My highest selling drink, though, at the resort was a Trader Vic style Mai Tai. That was one thing.
And people responded to it.
No, people loved it. Everybody I would have to go to the restaurants after my shift at the pool and make Mai Tais for people. Like, I couldn't stay there all night, but if we had special people in or whatever, I'd have to go Trader Vic style Mai Tais.
Why'd you leave and wind up in Chicago?
I just expand my cocktail horizons. I was actually originally going to work for the aviary, and then I walked into Three Dots, fell in love, and started working there like a couple months later.
And did Kevin find you, or did you find him?
Mm-mm. I was...
Yeah, he was there before I was.
Yep.
Oh, really? Yep. Oh, maybe we should pass the mic over again. Yeah. We got to hear this side of it. So he was already there. Corey was already there.
For sure.
And then Kevin showed up.
Yeah.
And when you showed up, you were just like, oh, my God, this guy actually was Hawaii, and he was...
100%. I mean, it took a while to figure out, but we essentially had to pick up some pieces and kind of get the program back together. I mean, we took everything that was Three Dots was doing and redid it. You know, figured out the
redid
best.
Redid it or steroids?
Tried to figure out the best way to do literally everything.
Now, how long have you been the beverage director over there?
I guess, like, just about 3 years now.
Wow. That's a good chunk of time,
been there
though.
Just about 4 years?
A little over 3 years.
So you guys are kind of about the same. Mm-hmm. So, You're just a touch ahead of him. Do you call seniority sometimes?
No.
He got so meek right there. Gosh, Kevin.
No, we just have very. I mean, we have very different roles. I mean, you know.
Yeah, no, that's
Corey's
true.
Behind the bar all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
and you're in the back doing science.
Yeah, and keeping the train on the rails.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's very important, especially at a tiki bar. Mm-hmm. So when you left Craft Cocktails what had your tiki experience been?
I mean, it wasn't very deep, to be honest.
And it was just having fun with it here and there? Or?
For sure. You know, I've been like a student of anything distilled or fermented for a very long time. So, you know, in addition to being, you know, on the hotel side, I was a sommelier and ran a couple of wine programs. So, like, like had that sort of mentality. Mm-hmm. So, you know, always took studying and understanding spirits really seriously.
Are you a good cook, too?
I can cook.
I was going to say, you seem to have that tasting thing. All this. And
it's analytical. I mean, you eventually make those connections of what tastes good together and what works together, and you apply that to whatever you're doing.
I mean, that helps with my creativity. that helps with my creativity for the bar.
Are you also a good cook?
Yeah, I cook a lot. And I'd say I cook a lot of, like, Southeast Asian food, stuff like that. And that helps a lot with, like, especially our concept.
With the tiki stuff, yeah, for sure, for sure. So tell me, give me some idea of your process when you're, Kevin, when you're coming up with drinks to put on that menu. I mean, do you, how often do you guys change out your menu? Do you?
Yes, we fully change the menu every 6 months.
Fully change it?
Pretty much.
Wow.
I mean, there's something.
I mean, of course, you've got standards, I'm sure, because people are going to go to tiki bar and expect.
That have stayed on the menu, you know, one way or another. Mm-hmm. We split the menu into two parts, classic tiki cocktails and modern tiki cocktails.
Yeah.
So.
That's a lot of today's tiki bars do that, which I think is the best idea, because sometimes people get very stagnated in the idea of the ancient, the old ways and everything. But, you know, you can't grow.
Right, and tiki was very inventive and was very much pushing the envelope
very
in the
much
40s
so.
And 50s. And, like, you wouldn't be a tiki bar, I don't think, unless you continue that tradition.
Honestly, tiki bar, and I've had this conversation over the years with various craft cocktail friends, is, like, those early tiki bars were sort of the precursors to the craft cocktail movements, because they were making their own syrups and coming up with combos and doing all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So you guys are still inventing and creating new combos and new things. And
but at the same time, some of our innovation. I don't know. One of my most favorite things to do in R&Ding a new menu is working on the classic cocktails.
Yeah.
Because you have a framework, and then you have to figure out how to make the idea of this cocktail, because that's all you're really given. You're given a recipe, but that recipe is very often totally useless.
Yeah.
So you have to take the idea of these balanced flavors and the proportions and, like, interpret that into something that, like, someone's actually going to enjoy and want to drink.
Yeah.
And that is super challenging. And that part's a lot of fun. And to be honest with you, over the course of that happening, while you're trying to figure out how to make classic cocktails work, that's when the best modern interpretations come out. Because you're, like, working on this classic build, you're working this classic build, and then you're like, oh, man, this would be really cool if I just did the base beer to chartreuse. And just did, you know what I mean?
That's you said chartreuse.
Yeah, and that's where it comes from. So, I mean, that's part of the process. I mean, we're very collaborative at Three Dots. Me and Corey work very closely together, come up with these menus, you know, again, playing off each other's ideas. And I think that's where it really pushes us into to new territory.
I'm still thinking about chartreuse. I'm sorry. Yeah. You said that. I'm like, when am I getting to Chicago so I can have the chartreuse of which you speak in a tiki drink? Although it does come up. And no, you're absolutely right. This is how new classics are made. Mm-hmm. You have to keep doing that. You can't stay in the old ones.
No.
And let's be honest, there are a shit ton of old tiki recipes that are gross. Just not that
they
great.
Were wrong. Like, I can't imagine that anybody was purposely making shitty drinks. It's like, you just have to understand, like, the differences in ingredients between the base spirits, the rums, how much those have changed,
honestly,
how different the citrus is. And then you figure, if I told you a recipe, if I just, like, spoke a recipe to you, and you tried to remember it, and then write
it
down,
where I was
and then
gonna
speak
go.
It to someone else, and then they write it down, like...
I think a lot of those old recipes were a game of telephone, exactly,
for
like you're
sure.
saying, Corey. Because so many of those recipes, too, were not available, you know, because it was also secretive. So they had to be interpreted later.
Right.
We think it was this, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, this is our best guess is what this was. And then you're like, oh, it's not that great.
But
it might have been wonderful.
Even if I gave you my best cocktail, what I thought that was the best cocktail ever made, I gave you the exact recipe and instructions, there's a strong possibility that you'd fuck it up and make a bad cocktail.
Oh, totally.
Like, that's even in
oh, yeah. You know, I've done that with a friend's drink before.
Ingredients.
Yeah, I did that with a friend's drink before. He gave me the recipe, and I made it for myself, and I tried it, and I was like, this doesn't taste like he did. And I texted him. He's like, send me a picture of your drink. I sent him a picture, and he's like, did you shake it? I'm like, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to shake it.
Right, there's so many
Then
like,
I shook
variations.
It, and it tasted great. It didn't taste exactly like his, because maybe I didn't have the same rum or whatever it was, but it tasted great,
so
and I just didn't know I was
supposed
to shake it.
If we can misinterpret and screw that stuff up now in 2018 with Google Docs and social media and whatever, like, can you possibly imagine when you're scribbling a recipe from one person's notebook to another years ago?
Yeah, exactly. It's like the friggin' Bible. There you go. That's wonderful. Well, then, how about you guys tell me, like, obviously, between the two of you, created so many cocktails over the years. Are there any favorites that pop up there? Or is this like asking to choose a favorite child and you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings?
It's tough because it's like even some of our favorites, like we loved it and we made it so many times and have tasted so many times. Like we're
that you're over it, kind of.
So it's hard to like kind of pin one down. And what do you think?
I mean, gosh, oh God. This one hasn't been along. The Eagle On that Chino.
It's always
drank.
New ones, and this can actually relate back to musicians.
So there's this one drink. It was a Jungle Bird variation. Mm-hmm. I did the Campari Jungle Birds. Me and Kevin are not necessarily the hugest fans of. Mm-hmm. So we did a one with Chinar, and that one was instead of Campari.
Regular or 70?
We tried with both.
Okay,
ways,
I was gonna say you had to. Yeah.
So yeah, that's yeah. we do
so
that
regular,
a lot.
I'm guessing. Yeah, so
and it just turned out that it was better with that one.
Yeah, yeah. So nice. Even with the rums on that one, we tried it with Ray Nefri. We tried it with Rum Fire.
Yeah.
It didn't work with both, but it was better with both of them. So.
Oh.
So. Yeah.
So like, oh, it's a two rum deal.
And that happens, I think, a lot with our cocktails, anyways, on our development.
Mad scientists.
Well, like how there's all those drinks with a lot of different rums in them, the tiki rum. We'll do it with gin.
Yeah,
we'll
and this goes back to that craft or initial craft cocktail thing because you know you think about it and there can be like 9-12 ingredients in these and it's like three different kinds of things.
Kapahulu mako, ayana lipoa, mea maamao ia, oh you and I.
Saying, well, this is one we did somewhat recently, makes me think of music, so we can transition over to that, because I have a lot of friends in bands, as you guys may if you don't play music yourself, and often when they're touring, they just want to play their new music, because they're like, this is what we're really hot on right now, we just have so much fun doing this live and doing all of that. Do either one of you play any music? No? You're just nerds?
I play guitar.
You play guitar?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that. I've dated too many boys with guitars, so you're safe. I'm over that now.
He's got a ukulele, though.
You've gone full tiki. I'm like, you should have brought that ukulele in here. We'll be like, Corey, you're doing a solo now.
I'd get a little nervous for that.
Do you play ukulele more than guitar?
I play guitar more, but...
Okay.
I mean, when I was in Hawaii, I went camping all the time, so I played it
the guitar or the ukulele?
The ukulele, yeah.
Really? That was like
ukulele.
The single...
Ukulele.
You guys just have to say it right. Ukulele. Was that... did you play it there just because you were just the campfire entertainment?
Yeah, basically.
You're like,
I tried to pass it off and let other people play, because I don't like being that campfire... Like,
yeah,
jam band?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I had to make the Mai Tais, too, so I was on double duty.
Wow. Your friends kind of abused your generosity, it sounds like. Yeah, or you were far too kind.
You know, it's true. I don't want to drink bad cocktails.
You're like, I can't let them drink
so
bad cocktails,
them
but
them
I can let them listen to bad ukulele.
Yes, yes, yes.
So did you just play guitar for yourself, or did you play in bands ever?
The only time I ever was going to play in a band, I was going to play in a metal band.
What was the name?
No.
Called Hemlock.
No.
Hemlock? And is there already a Hemlock, though?
There is.
I was going to say, it sounds like there should have been 100 metal bands named Hemlock.
I was in college, and I was tried out, and I was either go with them or quit college, and I was, I don't know. I instead quit college and went and started bartending in Hawaii, but...
Can I play host for a moment?
Oh, yeah,
here?
Totally.
Then
totally
what's
like
your
this.
Feeling on the metal tiki bars? Because there's a couple of them,
yes.
And there's another one about to open, which I think is going to be pretty cool.
Where's that opening?
The Inferno Room
in
Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
No, St. Louis. I'm sorry.
St. Louis. Okay.
In St. Louis.
A metal, another metal
yeah, and
tiki
Russell's
bar.
Opening his. I mean, he's a metalhead and he loves tiki. He's combining the two and like.
I
looks like it's going to be cool. And I think isn't there another couple like metal?
Well, there's like.
Tiki
bars?
I mean,
there's like Guar Bar in the DC area that I've never been to, but I heard it's kind of a fusion of those kind of things. And then.
Well, there are skulls involved in both those communities, so I think it lends itself to cannibalism.
I love the fusion of like tiki and sometimes like a little bit of something else.
Oh, yeah.
So, like,
I mean, I do too, and some tiki purists get kind of bent out of shape about that, but I'm like, we have to have fun. It's all about fun. Like we were saying, fun and escapism. So I know there are going to be people listening to this podcast being like, shut the fuck up, Mo. That is so not cool. I'm like, let people be young and have fun. So, yes. Back to Kevin's question.
What I think about them? Metal tiki bars? I think they're great.
Yeah?
If I could work at one, I don't know.
Yeah?
So what's the most metal of tiki drinks?
Yeah.
I like this. I'm just going to lean back.
This is, oh, God, this is a hard one.
No, we know there are metal tiki drinks. I mean, there's enough cannibalism, like, within the tiki world.
Right.
That kind of stuff. Come on. Voodoo
I'm just,
shit,
well, I'm,
curses.
Like, thinking just zombie, obviously.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess.
That one's clear cut.
Zombie is pretty metal drink.
Yeah.
I'm not a total metal person, but zombie is one of my favorite tiki drinks.
I feel like chartreuse swizzle is pretty metal.
Chartreuse swizzle, yeah.
I'm not going to react to chartreuse the same way now that you guys have said it so many times. I'm just saying. I do love a chartreuse swizzle, though. I make that shit for myself at home. I remember getting the recipe for Marcus up north when I still lived up there, and I'd go home and just hammer ice into a thing, and I'm like, I can just have it at home. I don't have to bug him all the time. But so yes. Good. No, are you sure it's just a zombie?
I'm going to go with zombie. I think you can get in a good rhythm with zombie. So that's the whole thing about making tiki drinks with metal going.
You can drink the zombie. I gotta have zombies.
Yes.
Get your Cookie Monster voice on. Get going. Everything. Yep. So the band you played with was kind of a metal band. So
yeah.
What took you there? What were you living in Hawaii at that time?
No.
Where were you from before?
I'm Arizona originally. So,
oh, a part of Arizona.
Prescott area.
Okay. So. I have friends from both Phoenix and Tucson.
Well, I was going to college in Flagstaff and
and metal's a thing.
I just knew the band because I hung out at their shows, and
you
just knew
the band, but you obviously listened to metal.
I knew the band. Oh yeah, I listened to
Do you still listen to metal all the time?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we had to.
I think he's kind of still dodging our question a little bit. I want to hear more about your metal tiki bar. In my brain, it's happening. I know you're going to have a kick-ass zombie.
I mean,
what's the music going to be in there?
So, well, my favorite band's Mastodon.
But they're so good.
Yeah, I mean, they've got nautical theme albums. They've got space theme albums that you could go with, like the 60s tiki.
Is there an electric ukulele out there? Is that like
you could,
thing?
Yeah. You can plug it in, so it it makes noise. I've actually played a few metal songs on my ukulele before. It happens. You can do it. You gotta get your hands like revved up because you're going so fast. But.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. And it's a 4-chord demon, basically. You know, so I felt like that was a dirty move I just made trying to emulate a fast 4-string strum. Mastodon in the tiki bar. Do you have a Mastodon drink, like tiki drink?
What did I say I made that one time?
I was going to say, I know there's got to be.
Oh, I made a drink called Blood and Thunder. It was a Blood and Sand. The song Blood and Thunder is a Blood and Sand, like.
Variation
of
Blood
sorts.
And Thunder.
It was more tiki-fied than the.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's
so,
amazing.
But I have also got lots of ideas in my brain that'll come out at some point
that
for
are
this whole
like
metal
tiki stuff. And we can't spill them here because someone might steal them. We have to do a, like, hashtag copyrighted kind of comment before you start doing that.
I mean,
but
we did all classic tiki cocktails for this year's Hookah Lounge, but you know, maybe next year it's going to be all metal tiki cocktails.
Totally should, man. I love it. Well, Kevin, I'm going to toss it to you then, because we've embarrassed him quite a bit just now. You're going to have to tell me some of your music stuff.
Ooh, I don't really have a ton of music stuff,
right?
Yeah, no. However,
but you have to like music on some level because you're a creative person.
Yeah. So my background, I actually went to school for broadcasting. So.
Oh, so you know how to handle that mic.
I suppose so. You know, I maybe had dreams of being.
Did you want to do radio stuff or
I did.
Journalism?
Radio is actually what I was interested in.
I went for journalism and got into radio. Yeah. Did radio for 10 years. But you have the voice. You could pull that shit off.
I suppose. So maybe I could read you the weather or something.
Let's look out right here.
It's a balmy 83 degrees in Fort Lauderdale right now.
It's a high pressure system coming in from the south.
And that's why my hair is so curly right now.
Yeah, but actually, when I was in high school and college, I was playing music. I was the college DJ. So
see, that's what I did. I did radio for 10 years, but it was at UC Berkeley, and it was the college radio station, which was also a community station. Mm-hmm. I don't know if yours was like that too. A lot of college stations kind of share the duties.
Kind of. Ours was pretty heavily censored because it was a Catholic university. It was a long story. Well, it wasn't pretty. So I had, you know,
this is what made you
time.
Who you are today. Yeah, with a full sleeve tattoo making cocktails. Right, exactly. I went to Catholic school for 10 years. Yeah. I feel you.
So you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I still got one uniform somewhere because boyfriends, you know. You know. So what were you DJing when you were there? What was the format like?
Oh, man. I grew up in Long Island.
My brother lives in Brooklyn.
Right, in the late 90s and early 2000s. Okay. I mean, I was like hip-hop focused forever.
Yeah,
Well,
hip-hop is like pop these days. You know, it's all you hear pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
So that was,
I would have a hip-hop tiki bar, would be my tiki bar. Like old school hip-hop tiki bar. But talk about things that are going to piss
people off. I was going to say, yeah. That's true. But
I want to work Martin with that. Denny beat, like on top.
You know, it's...
I think I would get lynched here at this conference.
Yeah, no shit, man. It actually is very interesting to me that a metal tiki bar makes more sense than a hip hop tiki bar.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
I can pull more correlations out of the metal scene to go with that. How do we make the tiki thing work with hip hop? There's got to be a way.
I don't know.
Bling.
There should be. Yeah,
bling.
I mean, yeah, we wear a lot of bling. Jewelry, right?
There's the accessories. Just you've got like the beads, and you've got a little chrome guide hanging there, and everything. You're like two-thirds of the way there.
We have fun on Friday and Saturday nights at work with the little...
You guys play hip-hop in the bar on Friday and Saturdays? Well, on Fridays
like
and Saturdays, you have
until
to...
until, like, 10.
Yeah.
And then, like, after that, everybody's really trying to have a good time. We're trying to introduce to you as many people as possible, so we want them to come and have the best time possible. And they're looking for, you know, music with a little bit higher entry level.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're unknowingly consuming these classic tiki cocktails that you know they're really enjoying, and that's kind of how we're spreading the message. So everyone,
so they're
we
learning
need to compromise a little bit.
Yeah.
So
you know,
we'll
I mean, well, you know, in tiki bars it's tricky because, and this is a debate you've probably heard within the tiki community a lot about tiki bars. Like, I wish they just played Exotica the whole time. And you're like, but a lot of people would fall asleep, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful, and
it definitely has a
place and time.
I've got a huge collection of Exotica records, like,
right?
Love it.
Right. It definitely has a time and place, but Friday and Saturday nights are most likely not it.
Right.
You know, so you have
just not for every, not
you
for
have
everybody.
To, you have to be realistic about who is coming to your bar sometimes. So let's try to fantasize about your hip hop tiki bar here. I think the bling thing is a good idea.
Okay.
I know I came up with it, but I think you can back that up.
Yeah.
Right. What else? Like, what would be the, which artist do you think you'd be playing in there? It
can
work.
Man, that's tough.
Remember when we had Lil Jon there?
Oh, yeah. We did.
Wait,
yeah,
Lil
yeah,
Jon
yeah,
came
yeah.
into Three Dots?
Yeah, we did our annual luau, and we had Lil Jon as our
host.
Shut up. It was so fun.
You're making it happen, Kevin.
No, it was real.
No. I believe
turnt,
you.
It was turnt, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
oh my God,
Lil Jon was behind the bar making cocktails.
I'm like, I'm gonna hand the microphone over to Corey here, so you guys can hear. Talk about that.
So,
tell us stories about that night.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had some great cocktails for the night. We did some themed cocktails. I did a cocktail called Crunk Juice. That was a tiki interpretation of Crunk Juice, essentially.
Of purple drank.
Yeah.
That's Lil Wayne.
Well, but we also had another cocktail called Blue Drank.
Nice.
Which one of our real homies and guest bartenders from New York, Pam Mazinsner, was in to make some cocktails with us. And Lil Jon was great, man. He was behind the bar hanging out with us, making drinks. It was
taking
awesome.
Taking selfies, making drinks.
Yeah, that was awesome.
He was making drinks? You tell a story about him making drinks back there.
He was just back there.
How'd you train him?
Well, he doesn't need training.
No training. I mean, this is the king of crunk.
He doesn't need it. Yeah,
so,
he knows how to make drinks.
You know, so there's no windows in Three Dots, but there's plenty of walls. So, I mean, that guy knows how to host a party like nobody's business. And he's got great taste and kind of an interesting culinary background.
Get low, 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 get low
Thank you for that. Yeah. I want to look on YouTube to see if there's anything.
Oh,
any...
there is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're in Chicago. There's hip-hop in Chicago all over. Make that shit keep happening.
Yeah, we'll see.
I love that.
We'll try. But, I mean, I get, we want to be, you know, we
I know.
We want to stay true to the classic tiki, right? We honor the classic tiki recipes. We respect the bartenders that came before us. We honor their recipes, but... we also want to throw down because that's what those classic tiki bars were. They were fun. They were a party.
Yeah, like, I think Don the Beachcomber would have Lil Jon his bar.
Right. If
it was today,
him and Stephen Crane.
Yeah, Stephen Crane.
Definitely be throwing a wild party.
Yeah.
And I think that there would be the, you know, when you look at the celebrities and the personalities that they had into those bars, that those were the places that you were hosting, like, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, Clark Gable, and you just have all the famous people from back in the 30s and 40s in your bar in Hollywood. You know, it's this is what...
So all of that has to evolve. Like, it's going to continue to evolve.
I think to make a real tiki bar that is true to the 30s and 40s, you have to evolve, and you have to have all those famous people, or not necessarily famous people, but, like, have...
personalities.
Like a new... the vibe of the time sometime, you could say, maybe, or just, like, just everybody having fun. Mm-hmm. And... that might involve just evolving a little bit, so. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
And don't get us wrong. I mean, we're traditionalists in a lot of sense.
No, absolutely.
We really try to, you know, recreate these cocktails in the best way possible, take the insight from their decor, and, you know, bring in the element of hospitality, but at the end of the day, we want it to be a fun
place, a party place. Have a good time, because it's escapism at the end of the day, right?
Right.
I mean, a bar... no matter what kind of accoutrement you have around that, is the place you go to get away from whatever. Get away from work. Anybody who listens to podcasts hear me say this almost every time. You're getting away from your partner because they're getting on your nerves. You're getting away from your job. You're getting away from your house because you've been in your house all day. You're getting away from whatever.
Yeah.
You're going somewhere else where there's a bit of a community and you kind of jump in for a minute.
I mean, we're already in an alley in Chicago, so like imagine it being negative 10 degrees outside, snowing sideways, and you wander down a dark alley into a basement to a warm tropical tiki bar.
That's not too shabby. I think that's kind of perfect actually. So we'll do the music thing again. I'm going to this is the quiz part where you pass this to you too. Where if you're good on a game show, you'll answer this quickly. If otherwise, we might have to circle back. I always ask people, like, when you're sitting at home. And if you make yourself a drink when you're sitting at home. Now, I notice a lot of us actually don't drink at home. We just go out drinking everything. But, Kevin, as I've gone through, people are just like, I actually don't drink by myself when I'm at home. I'm like, I don't drink by myself either. If friends come over, I'll drink plenty. But if you're sitting at home, relaxing, or partying, whatever, what are you drinking and what are you listening to?
So what we were talking about this the other day, actually.
Oh, good. You guys are
like on the
that.
Ride down here.
Really?
Like, this is, I don't know why.
Oh, so
we'll fill you.
Yeah. So
it's a psychic Latina thing. Sometimes I can channel this shit out to you.
So, like me personally, I don't make cocktails generally at the house, but I am always like cooking with like sake or soju or wine or something. So I'm drinking.
So you're just sipping on that.
Sipping on those kind of things.
So there was a pretty good example. Corey won't make himself a cocktail at home, but the other day he made himself A1 steak sauce from scratch. Because he just happened to have all those ingredients. So,
I overcooked a steak on accident, and I needed A1. And
because you overcooked the steak, so you're like,
I didn't
need to
have
cover
A1.
This up somehow.
Yeah, I didn't have A1, so I made my own A1. And it's no big deal. But I won't make my own.
Come on.
I won't make my own. I won't even.
Like, too much fucking work. When you're knocking down, like, garlic and poison to, like, maximum.
Yeah, I mean.
Sauce, for Christ's sake.
Oh, my God.
It's incredible.
So whenever I make it to Chicago, I'm going to your house and be like, dude, what are you cooking? Anything you do, I will eat. I'm picky as shit, but I will eat it. I will try that.
All right, yeah.
So, all right. So, I guess, what were you listening to when you made your A1 sauce?
So, I can't say that I know a lot of, like, bluegrass stuff, but I do listen to a lot of it. Faster paced.
I was
going to
say,
that
works really well with the ukulele. You're a guitar person.
And then surf music, too. So, like, surf music... like bluegrass stuff and
Did any bands jump out at you? You're so guitar oriented.
All so I just have I have an internal thing, and that's why I think how I make drinks is my clock internally. I need something fast. So, like I'm always
always it motors you. Mm-hmm, you know
it keeps me going. So I'm always listening to something like that. I mean, I'm sure I was just.
Did any artists jump out at you while you?
I listen to so much metal that it's crazy, but
I want you to list some metal things for me because I don't know a lot about metal. And metal? You're gonna list, yeah, list some stuff out because so, I'm going to go back and look into this. I know.
Mastodon, Gojira, Baroness. So like a lot of actually like Atlanta-based metal stuff. So they got a lot of kind of that southern twang to them. So I listen to like stuff like that, classic thrash metal too, and I like butt rock from the 80s, like Guns N' Roses, stuff like that as well. But I don't know, just guitar solos and everything
you,
like that.
I mean, how much air guitaring do you do at home?
I do more than I should at all times.
Well, you know, I can see that. I completely can see that. I mean, I'm sorry, everything is so guitar oriented and you play guitar. I'm like, there is no way that you, it's probably, you're probably not even aware that you're doing it when you're air guitaring.
I looked over and he was air guitaring on the plane right here.
See?
Yeah.
And you probably were like in your sleep air guitaring.
Yeah,
you know?
I was listening to pretty hardcore stuff on the way down.
What were you listening to?
I was listening to the new Gojira album, and it was it's hard.
Yeah,
it's heavy.
It's hard. It's like it's you're heavy. Just like yes.
Yeah.
In a good way. Okay.
No,
cool.
It get, like I get.
I'm like no, because then I want
to
listen to it.
That kind of stuff relaxes me more than the other like stuff that's supposed to be relaxing. But I also do like a good Celine Dion a lot.
A good Celine Dion.
So I used to close the bar.
Is that your karaoke
in Hawaii
track?
To I'd have to say Celine Dion is one of my go-tos as well.
Which song? It's My Heart Will Go On.
I mean, everybody.
It's My Heart
that
Will
one.
Go on.
Yeah, that one's obviously.
That's a. I know that's a big one, but it's so bombastic. It, how can you not like just feel like you're in Vegas with her?
Yeah.
You know.
This is incredible.
Look how peaceful he got when he was talking about that. That's you know what?
It's
no,
so
I love that.
It brings back good memories because I really did close down the bar to Celine Dion because we were listening to like Hawaiian music all day.
Yeah.
And I like it, but I needed something to break the.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm not making fun of you at all, actually, because I don't believe in guilty pleasures. I think if you like it, you like it. Mm. So you should not feel guilty about it. And sometimes there, I remember sitting in the car with my boyfriend singing If I Can Dream by Elvis Presley, and it made me so happy to sing it, and that is one of the cheeseballiest songs ever. And I'm a huge Elvis fan, but that song is sort of like, it doesn't get more ridiculous than that with that song. But it makes me so happy.
It does.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just that.
Yeah.
He's like, it does. It just does. All right, Kevin, your turn. You're sitting at home. You made yourself. You're having your shot in your beer or whatever it is you're doing.
So I do make cocktails at home. Nothing like crazy, but like I'll come home and one of my.
Do you just have ideas that roll through your mind? So you're.
No,
like,
I mean they're usually like classic things. Like I'll come home. I try to keep like my like special booze at home.
Yeah. So it's a super special cocktail.
Yeah, I just got back from Martinique a few months ago, so I have this like huge cache of Blanc Agricole. So my go-to at home cocktail is Tea Punch. You know, it's like the better old fashioned of the rum world.
Yeah,
and it's
just
so delightful at the end of your day.
Yeah.
So I'll fix myself a proper Tea Punch, and my music taste is pretty eclectic. For some reason, whenever I come home, I'm like making this Tea Punch. Take it, supposed to take, and I do a lot of like Dean Martin, Sinatra, and the Rat Pack. I don't know. It's just like that's just like the vibe I'm setting
at
that moment.
You know, you've got
and
your...
then you come down and relax a little bit, and then like that's when I'll start to explore some other things. But
okay,
you know, I'm building out the vinyl collection, so I,
So you pull out some Rat Pack for your tea.
It's just like a more conscious way of listening to music. Like when you get home, you make your cocktail. Like you're listening to one side of a record at a time. You have like 13 to 15 minutes of music, and then you have to consciously pick something else to listen to. It's not like saying like, "Hey Pandora, like curate my music for the whole night." Like you're just. So you're constantly making selections, and I like to like go and dig out dusty old records.
Well, you did DJ. You DJ too. I still have a lot of vinyl.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the way it smells. I love the way it sounds. And you know, I still have my Techniques turntables and everything.
Oh shit, me too.
Totally.
Two SL-1210s.
Yep, totally. Because you know, even though I don't DJ out in the world anymore or anything, they bring me comfort.
I know.
You know, I just know they're wonderful, and I can spin them around and do the pitch thing if I ever wanted to.
Yeah.
I don't.
No, they're set up very differently these days.
Right.
Than the
totally. They're not dusty, though. I can say that.
Nope.
So that sounds wonderful. That sounds very old school, actually.
It's pretty good.
It's like you're doing the old school thing in a new school sort of way.
Yep.
Kind of. I dig that. I'm cool with that. All right, cool. I think we're good, gentlemen.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much for sitting here and chatting with me in this.
Thank you.
Look, we got a new yacht pulled up while we were sitting here.
That's actually my yacht. We got to go. Just being cool and all.
I really like the wood paneling that you've got on there.
Thank you. We did it custom. It's all teak.
And I am a little disappointed that we're not hearing like Christopher Cross right now because I sort of expect it, but maybe it's the whole gator factor since we're in Florida. But thank you so much for sitting with me and doing this.
It was
a super good time. And is there any kind of social media thing or – whatever you want to tell people about yourselves and or your bar before we sign off?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing cocktails. We try to keep it live on social media. Mm-hmm. I'm at Heads to Tails, and we have...
I'm Mastodon Star.
Mastodon Star, and
yeah,
Heads
yeah,
to Tails.
Yeah, we try to give a little behind the scenes of what we're doing.
I was
going to
say, and that's you two, what you're doing at the bar, and then sure. It's kind of a given. People should be following Three Dots and a Dash.
Yep.
And is that spelled with a three, or is it the word three?
Always spelled out.
It's spelled out, Three Dots and a Dash.
Can't miss
so that's all that Instagram stuff, and should they do the Facebook, or is that like useless these days?
Yeah, for sure, we're there.
All of the above.
Hard to find us.
Excellent. All right, well, thanks so much, guys.
Thanks once again to Corey Starr and Kevin Beery of Three Dots and a Dash in Chicago for sitting down with me. And you can find them on Instagram and on Facebook. So go check them out like they just told you to. And I'm just going to get ready for the next one. We are doing our tropical summer here on Music and Booze with Mo. And head on over to my Facebook page, Mo Herms, for the Spotify playlist that these two guys have provided me with to play for you. You can listen to more from them if you want to listen to the hip-hop, you want to listen to the metal, we'll have it. And imagine what those kind of bars would be like. And head on over there for any other info about the bar and those guys. Thanks so much. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by the podcast Inside the Desert Oasis Room, which brings you casual and entertaining conversation with artists, mixologists, collectors, and enthusiasts of the tiki world, all while enjoying a tropical cocktail or three. Check it out at DesertOasisRoom.com. Thanks for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guests and our Spotify playlist, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.